Hello, and welcome to Tech Access Weekly, a podcast of unspecified length concerning news and events in accessible technology. To get involved, email techaccessweekly@gmail.com. Follow TA_weekly on Twitter or call 260-2-ASK-TAW. This is Tech Access Weekly, episode 117 for Wednesday, November 17th, 2011. The Wrong Match. I am Rodney.
And I am Erin.
Who's trying to walk over my lines.
As always.
As we find out that if you are hungry before a podcast, do not eat animal crackers because it will catch you in your throat and you will constantly be coughing afterwards.
Yes, we have spent, how many minutes is this exactly?
I believe it's like 8.
At least 10.
Oh, trying you count to your hyperventilation of me trying to get it
yes,
out of my throat.
Yes, I did because now I've started to do it because it's catching.
Oh, now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now I see what it is. Yes,
so
my salad for lunch didn't
just
quite
didn't
handle.
Stick. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's now 7:30 in the evening, so I can understand how that would happen.
Yeah, Jack would be pissed.
Who?
Jack. He always said between 6 and 7.
Oh
he,
yeah, Jack.
Kind of screwed that up.
He would be really irritated. Yeah. Well, we would like to start off with some listener mail. We had several good tips posted to our account this week. A tip from Claire in the UK, and Robin, also in the UK, sent us some good tips to consider.
I really wonder what people in the UK think of us.
Why?
Because they're UK folk.
So?
They don't understand us.
I'm sure they do.
Maybe. I'm probably the most difficult. You are the prim and proper discussion person.
Well, not always, but yeah, sort of.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And Marcus in Tennessee, mm-hmm. He sent us also a couple of tip suggestions. And let's see, am I omitting anyone?
Well, we, as always, get the wonderful Brian Watson
yes.
tips and such.
Thank you so much, Brian, for those tips. And speaking of tips, we got noticed on the last Cerro Talk podcast, our tip 330 on iTunes over-the-air updates for iOS 5, well, iTunes-less over-the-air updates for iOS 5, received notice on this week's Cerro Talk.
Yes. Very quick blurb.
Yeah. So thank you, mm-hmm. Cerro Talk people.
Very good.
And
they never mentioned any other tips, but hey, that's fine.
That doesn't matter.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You were going to say?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
So with that said, or not?
We'll kind of go with some generic news, a little bit of security and all that such. Over in Germany and other places, people have been kind of up in arms over Google and their showing of Wi-Fi locations on Google Maps. I guess they use it to sort of triangulate where locations are for things.
I guess. Google is going to offer businesses and people a way out so that they don't have to keep their information on the map.
Yeah, and I seriously doubt a lot of people will probably do this because actually have to go into your home Wi-Fi router and change your SSID so that it also has at the end _ no map.
Oh, for heaven's sake. How
odd.
Yeah.
So if you do that, they will exclude it. Now, the part that Google is a little bit worried about is that their services may be impacted by it because of trying to triangulate your location.
Right.
That's kind of what they use these open Wi-Fi spots for.
Mm-hmm.
So that may be a disadvantage, but if you want to get rid of it, you can have BurgerTime_ no map.
Yeah.
Or Doctor_ no map.
Or as in our case, mushroomfm.com_ no map.
Yeah. It was kind of funny because somebody in our neighborhood yeah. said, are you Mushroom FM? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, actually, well, it's not .com. It's just Mushroom FM. Mushroom
FM.
I do have
the .com in there.
Oh, mm-hmm. You do? Oh, okay.
I thought it would be kind of cute to advertise for the radio station mm-hmm.
oh,
where
yeah.
you can find the Melting Pot on Sunday evenings from
7 to 10 p.m. Eastern. Yes.
As we do not say daylight savings or standard time, because that's just confusing.
Yes, very much so.
Now, with this wonderful thing, Google has actually tried to do something else for customers by actually having application support. They're going to start offering 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, technical support for apps. But this is only for business customers who have Google Apps accounts.
So, yeah, this is not for your general run-of-the-mill person.
No, you can sign up for an apps account that will give you access to Google Docs and Gmail and things where you can actually use your own server ID and things.
Right.
So small, mid, and large
businesses
will be included in that.
Yay.
So that's a plus, because a lot of people were afraid that Google isn't giving them any support for problems they may run into.
You know what we've been forgetting?
What? Oh!
Now we get to switch gears and talk about Android a little bit.
Should I start over?
No.
No, okay.
No. Android phones have gone up in market share considerably since last year. They now are 52.5% of the mobile market.
Yeah, in the third quarter, which is this past October, at the end of that, they had sold 60.5 million units for a total of 52% of the market share, which is swamping the iPhone and Apple by...
iPhone only got 15.
Yeah, they only got 16.5% by selling 13.5 million. Now, the big thing you have to remember is that the iPhone probably lost a little bit of momentum because everyone pretty much knew the 4S was going to be coming out. Mm-hmm. So they kind of wait. Plus, there's more Android phones to choose from because, well, they put more out as free phones.
Yeah.
So that makes a little bit of a difference. Now, one thing that is also increasing with the Android phones are Android malware infections.
Ooh.
They're actually skyrocketing in number, according to Juniper, who does security analysis.
Bad, bad things. And there's a company called AV-Test that tested a lot of free antivirus and anti-malware detection apps that are floating around on the Android market, several of which are very, I guess, trusted by people, and found the results to be rather disappointing.
Well, you're always going to try the free one before you try the paid one. Now, granted, they did not include things like AVG or Symantec.
I tend to think this test was a little biased, because they did not include free versions of companies who make, you know, paid versions, like noteworthy companies like AVG or Bitdefender or Norton, like you said, Symantec. They all have free antivirus detector apps for Android, and they were not tested in this study that AV Test conducted.
Now, in the test that they did conduct, they did find that Zoner antivirus free version was actually 32% accurate, mm-hmm. as opposed to the others that ranged around 10 or 11% accurate.
Yeah, and they also tested it with 10 pieces of malware that, you know, get installed on people's machines, and these are 10 things that are around and quite common. They didn't say what they were. Zoner picked up 8 of them out of the 10, so it was also the highest in that area, too. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the age-old question, how effective is an antivirus against malware and things?
Yeah.
Back in the day, which is basically about 10 years ago, everyone was installing things like SpyBot, Search and Destroy, to get rid of malware and spyware, and it was usually somewhere between 20 and 30% accurate, so maybe that just means that antivirus makers are sort of doing the same as spyware.
Yeah, maybe.
Which, spyware is actually 55% of viruses that you get on an Android phone.
Wow.
And the remaining percentage apparently are related to, now get this, SMS scams.
What?
So you can actually have an app on your Android phone that will send SMS messages to services that are actually charging you a premium. So, you know, you sometimes hear about the scams that, hey, if you respond to this text message, you're going to charge you $30 or something for doing it. Well, this apparently will, there are apps out there that will supposedly send SMS text messages without you knowing and get you bill charges.
Oh, my goodness.
So apparently that is something big. Talking about something big, Google Music now goes to 11.
11?
Yeah, they used the Spinal Tap thing. Movie Spinal Tap back in the 80s said, well, it goes to 11 or whatever. Very bad accent there. So they announced that as of yesterday. Google Music is live. People can access it. Granted, it is not really the most accessible in the world.
To say the least.
Hopefully there will be improvements with that, as they keep saying that they're wanting to do more for accessibility.
Yeah, the proof is in the pudding, though, and so far I haven't seen any good pudding.
But some of the things they're doing is they're actually making it so that more unknown artists can get their applications and music sold.
That's good.
So that's a good thing. They're building sort of fan and fan pages for people to follow. They're giving away a song a day and some other music. There was some music like from Busta Rhymes and Coldplay, I think it was, that they were giving away free. But the bad part is it was live music, which most people don't really look to as great music to have in your collection.
Right.
You know, it's great to hear, but it's not something that you're really going to want to listen to, because usually the recordings are pretty bad.
Yeah. Of course, if you like Live Through the Looking Glass on Mushroom FM on Thursday afternoons.
Oh, no, that's a shameless plug.
That's what they all play. They play all live music.
All live music.
Yep.
Huh. Go figure.
Mm-hmm.
I know why I don't tune into that. I don't like live music.
You're not here when it's on either.
Well, that's true. But one of the things that is kind of cool about the Google Music is the fact that you will now be able to buy music. It will store in the cloud. You can store up to 20,000 of your own songs on their service.
Oh, nice.
And the cool thing is when you purchase something, you can actually share it with all of your friends on Google Plus.
Oh.
So you can share a song that you just purchased with all of your friends, and they can listen to it once all the way through.
That's cool.
And if you then reshare it to all of your followers and friends, you get like a 30 or 45 second clip of it. You don't get the full thing, but for one time, you can actually listen to it all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe someone said if you actually do an entire album, you can share that album once. So that's like huge.
That's big.
Now, granted, if you really wanted to hack the thing, you get you a digital recorder, you plug it into your computer, and you record it at the highest bit rate possible as it plays back, and then you snip it in pieces. Doesn't seem like that'd be that hard to do. In a CNET article, they have mentioned 10 ways to secure a computer. This includes things like how to eliminate clickjacking, keyloggers, how to disable your images on your computer, how to stop having attachments show up in your email client, that kind of thing. I am going to include this in the post for this episode so that you can get to it. It is 10 ways to secure a computer.
Speaking of clickjacking, there has been a clickjacking attack on Facebook that
you don't know Jack
throws violent porn and all kinds of other mess into people's accounts.
Yeah, this is kind of a bizarre one.
Strange.
Apparently people were actually pasting these news articles that it was sort of portraying into their feed.
Without knowing it,
or they actively knew it but didn't know what it was doing. Someone had actually suggested that maybe it was a shortened URL, but turns out that wasn't really possible.
Mm.
It had to actually be the link. Facebook quickly was able to try and reduce this issue. It was kind of sick and perverse because it was posting things like Justin Bieber in adult situations or animal cruelty and things.
Yeah.
So they're making adjustments to that. And the spread was impacted or making it worse because of the new timeline feature that would quickly populate it to every single person, and you could just go over and click on the link. So
they have tried fingering people who are in Anonymous, in the group Anonymous, for this, but so far they haven't been able to figure out who's doing it.
Yeah.
Which is really nothing new.
So, security on Facebook, not that tremendously great. Go figure. Facebook is also going to start suggesting people to you based on what you like.
I don't know about this.
So if you like Coca-Cola or The Gap or something like that, they may suggest to you people that work at The Gap or the CEO of Coca-Cola that you might want to follow. Mm-hmm. Luckily, there will be a subscribers section to your page so that you don't get that confused with people you may know. Because that was my first thing. Yeah. I don't want to be told, you may know this person. Would you like to follow them?
Oh, God, I hate that.
Yeah, it's irritating. But I find people that just recently got onto Facebook and go, oh, I remember that person from high school. Or, who in the heck is that? I do not remember that person, but 25 of my classmates are friends with that person. So
I might as well just add it along.
Yeah, I must have some slim recollection of that person. So something.
Oh, sorry.
Four. Ah, she's quick on the trigger.
Yeah, trying to remember to do it.
Oh, okay. Give me one more since I rambled over it.
Okay.
All righty.
Now that we've got that out of the way, Apple is having some trouble with Siri. Apparently, the security protocol for Siri has been cracked. I'm sure they'll fix this eventually, but in theory, you can get Siri to run on other devices than the iPhone 4S.
Yeah, there's a group that's been trying to hack it called Applidium, A-P-P-L-I-D-I-U-M. And you have to have a UID.
ID for the iPhone 4S.
Exactly.
And each iPhone 4S has a unique user ID.
Huh, I wonder if that's what UDID
means. Well, anyway, you have to have one, and you know you can't have one that's the same as the other one. So there's a catch. You got to find one.
So I'm not sure how Apple's going to limit this, but apparently you can just create UIDs that appear to be like
legitimate
S's, 4S's.
I don't know. Strange Scary one. Stuff.
Apple is finally. For all of the iPod Nano folks out there that's been waiting for this, Apple is actually going to replace iPod Nanos from the first generation.
Yeah, they were having some problems with battery overheating and all kinds of other things, and they've been talking about replacing it or doing something.
Yeah, and they were doing it in only minimal countries that they were forced to do. Well, now they're actually going to do it worldwide, so you can actually call up Apple and get a replacement, and supposedly some are shipping out as of now.
Oh, good.
Granted, these are the 1 gigabyte models of the iPod Nano.
Really, really, really early models.
Yeah, and this is related to the lithium ion issues that other companies were having, like Dell and HP way back, like in 2008, where batteries were leaking or exploding.
Ooh, poof. iTunes Match has been released.
Yes, with iTunes 10.5.1,
Woohoo!
iTunes Match has been released. Yay! So now you can actually take all of that music that is in low bit rate and get it upgraded to 256K MP3s.
It will do up to 25,000 songs, I do believe. You basically searches your iTunes library, finds matches of your songs. It will replace legitimately purchased copies with better quality versions from the cloud if it can. But you gotta watch it because it can sometimes come up with a little bit strange results that do not match.
Apparently some people who jumped in on this is a service that costs $25 a year. Some people were actually having, say, Frank Sinatra songs overlapped with Cake. Which is difficult.
Yeah.
Which is difficult to understand, but if you have downloaded things over the internet, your tags may not be as accurate as you would like. And if you've got a large collection, you might not be able to know this until the song actually tries to play. So yeah, that's kind of a catch 22 with the iTunes match. I think probably the best thing to do is not use it as of yet. Sort of wait and see what the growing pains are for this.
Because, I mean, it was just released literally a few days ago.
Yeah.
So it'll... I'd just be patient and wait for it to develop a little bit and wait for an update or two to come out and then try and use it, because they may have better search capabilities and a better ability to read different tag formats.
Yeah, so that'll be something for later. I'm not sure I really care about that. But
seeing as how I have a non-existent iTunes library, I really don't care about it either.
Yeah, I think the folks that are really going to enjoy having that are people that are deeply embedded into iOS and the Mac ecosystem, I guess.
Right.
One issue that did come out of last week's
over-the-air update,
5.0.1 update, that supposedly would fix some battery issues. A lot of people are reporting that battery issues are actually worse on the 4S now after that. But there is a strange bug that is going on with your contacts. If you are trying to use some applications like, say, iMessage, the iPhone will actually lose the actual contact that you are sending the message to. So instead of saying, I'm sending a message to Jerry, it'll just give his phone number or email address instead.
So it'll lose the name of the contact.
Yeah.
Huh.
So that's a bizarre one. Apparently 5.0.2 is very soon around the corner because of all the issues with the battery.
Right.
So,
and it's one of those things, like with the antenna, it may be a hardware problem and they're trying to cover it up. So who knows? Who knows what's going to happen?
But if you're experiencing things with the iOS 5.0.1, let us know, because it's kind of hard to figure out what's true and what's not.
So you know, some people are experiencing them on one handset and some people aren't, who have other handsets too.
Yeah, which is bizarre.
Makes it more complicated.
But somebody at work today has a 4S and they said, I pretty much have to plug my phone in as soon as I get to work.
That's really, that's
because
terrible.
It drains too fast during the day.
Wow.
So I don't.
That just sort of defeats the purpose of having a mobile phone.
Exactly. Now, there is one thing that does not seem to be a problem for Lion and the OS X operating system for Macs. Apparently, sandboxing is not really a problem after all.
Oh, you don't say.
Well, they're saying that apps that are given limited access to the network or cameras or different options that you might have, if they crash, someone can sort of gain access to the Apple Event Manager. Yeah, it's kind of boring, you know. Mm-hmm. Your apps could actually, if they were hacked, send information off to a remote location. So it's something to think about. Apple probably is pushing out a fix for that, but it's kind of one of those things that is a voluntary thing by app developers to sandbox their applications. Mm. And there's a lot of news going around about, there's a problem with sandboxing.
Whoa.
You know, where it sort of limits their access. But there is a little bit of a flaw there, but they're not too worried about it, doesn't seem.
Amazon has acquired a text-to-speech company, a very small startup called Yap, Y-A-P. And there's a lot of speculation on why they're doing this. Apparently, they acquired this company last week. There was no real fanfare or news about it. But people are speculating that with the emergence of Siri on the iPhone 4S, perhaps Amazon is going to try and better its text-to-speech recognition technology and come up with something for the Kindle Fire, a Siri challenger, if you will. I personally think they have a long way to go in order to come up with something that sophisticated. But maybe they're going to try and improve the text-to-speech on the Kindle, which that would be fantastic.
You know, I never heard anything more out of the people that were wanting people to order the Kindle Fire and then send them back.
I wonder whatever happened to that, if that ever went anywhere or what.
But I know the Kindle Fire has been shipped and people are actually starting to review it and they're kind of hammering it pretty bad, saying that it's slow, it's sluggish. There's different things that are just nitpicky, but a lot of the criticism of those hating on the Kindle Fire is just the fact that maybe they're iOS users and they like the quick snappiness of the iPad.
And the intuitiveness of the iPad.
But for $200, it might not be that bad if you don't have to worry about accessibility.
Yeah.
Which the Nook also shipped out today and or yesterday. Yeah. And same problems.
Same problems. And, of course, nothing has been done on accessibility, I don't think, with the Nook.
Yeah, but nobody seems to care.
I know. I don't understand why people don't. I don't get it.
I guess Amazon is considered a bigger company.
I guess so. And I kind of forgot to inform you that there was going to be a rant today.
A rant?
Yeah. See, there's this new Twitter client that came out actually, I think it's been out for a while, but I only found out about it recently. It is based off of Twitter. It is a Twitter variant, if you will. It is called Twitmonger. Not developed by the people who developed Twitter. Oh, wait a minute. Really, there's no development about it. They just took code out of the Twitter application and threw it back up there as Twitmonger.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the key to open source, is you can copy things and
very
use
true.
Them.
But they did I don't know who these people are really, but in my opinion, it was a very sloppy job. And they still, the keyboard documentation, the help documentation, the keyboard map still references Twitter. If you're going to use someone else's code, but you're giving your program a new name, take out all the references to the other program's name.
Yeah, it was kind of like they did a find replace very poorly.
Yeah, very poorly in the code and everything. And even the README documentation, they have things in there that reference Twitter and the Twitter website. They need to take those out.
Yeah, it's a very bad attempt at plagiarism.
Sloppy. Sloppy, sloppy. And there's open source and then there's ripoff. To me, open source is great. You can, you know, you can use and work and develop off of someone else's code, you know, that they've put up there and allowed people to use. Don't just paraphrase it and say, this is mine. I just took big chunks out. I didn't add anything new to it.
Yeah, I've seen people on Twitter sort of defending it, saying, well, they've made changes, you know.
Nothing visible that I can see. And removing functionality does not count as a change.
Well, I think there's another client out there that's under development that removed some of the stuff.
Yes, and you know, there are a couple. I think that this, I mean, I understand what they're doing. I think they did it in too much of a hurry. I think that's the problem. They did it in too much of a hurry. You should wait until Twitter breaks and then decide to release, or, you know, Twitter is going to break and then decide to release something new. This will give you time to kind of work on it. Twitter announces when they're going to make changes that are going to affect API clients. They have to. So work on your little project, keep it on the side burner. Then when Twitter announces they're going to make a change that's going to break something, then you release it.
Yeah, It's kind of the age-old question of open source, because a lot of people have always said that open source is a bad idea because all it's going to do is put a lot of applications out there that are clones of each other, and that's kind of what this is at this point.
Yeah, and there is a certain amount of etiquette involved in really good open source development. There's a certain amount of, okay, this is great what you've done. I will give you credit for it. Which the Twitmonger people did say, this is developed off of Twitter. You know, we're indebted to the Twitter team for providing the basis for this. But the key is the basics. You're supposed to, I mean, there's kind of this etiquette of, I'm going to add my own thing to make this unique. And as far as I can tell, they haven't done that yet.
Yeah.
Something visible, something noticeable that makes it different. That really is what open source is about.
Yeah. So maybe at a later point, Twitmonger will be worthy. But, I mean, just the documentation is like the most blatant thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because they didn't take time to write their own documentation.
No. And in the key map, it references Twitter, which I think is just sloppy. So, Drew Weber, host of Rebel Fusion on Mushroom FM, has this to say about Twitmonger.
What's that sound? Twitter, Quitter, or Twitmonger? You decide. Oh, wait, you'll never know, because they're all the same. Twitmonger's the brand new Twitter client that you can use to read your tweets, send your tweets, reply to mentions, and DMs. But the interesting thing is, it looks just like Quitter.
I'm confused. Am I using Quitter or Twitmonger?
I'm kind of surprised it's not called Quitmonger.
It's the same thing with a different name. Twitmonger.
Yeah, and something else that people have pointed out, one thing I guess that is different, it is a little bit internal, but the structure of the database that retains the information is a little bit different.
Oh.
I don't know how much different. It's not something visible. It's probably visible to a programmer, but it's not something that's visible to the average user who's going to use it. They claim it's different. They claim it makes the Twitter user experience faster than Quitter. And some people have actually said that it is faster. The response of a large majority of people is, just wait until you use it a while, and like Quitter, it will probably slow down. Again, I don't have enough information either way, but they claim to have made some internal changes. I don't know how extensive they are. But they are not changes that can be seen by the average workaday, run-of-the-mill, non-techie computer user.
Hmm.
And that's, I think, what signifies open source to me. Changes that are visible to the average person who's going to use it.
Yeah, something that makes them go, wow.
Exactly.
That's better, or, gee, that's a little bit different.
Exactly.
I hadn't thought of doing it this way.
Right.
You know. There will be more to come on that situation and other clients that will try and take over from where Quitter left off.
Yeah.
Quitmonger, that was pretty good.
Yeah, Quitmonger. And I anticipated that this would probably happen. You know, it's stuff like this is bound to happen when a perceived vacuum exists in a situation. And granted, you know, Quitter at this point is, well, not so much now, but was one of its kind for a long time. And I can understand that people are kind of getting afraid about what's going to happen if Twitter breaks again.
Yeah, but you know. Quitter still does have a support team that mm-hmm. is still willing to support it.
You right, know, and development has not 100% been ruled out completely forever.
No.
So, you know, we'll see. Okay, that's enough. I'm moving on now.
Okay.
Optilec has come out with a new 24-inch magnifier.
A twin view HD split screen.
Yes. And apparently you can plug in a magnifier to it and also a computer monitor to it and view both of them at the same time.
Yeah, I guess they have a product called the Optilec Plus that is like a closed circuit reader, you know, where it's got the camera and all that kind of stuff, and you can put your document under it and you can actually plug it into this screen and see it on the screen. But then you can also have your computer sitting beside you where you can actually plug that into the screen and then it'll split down the middle, or you can adjust how much of the screen you see or whether it's the top and the bottom or right or left, which is kind of a cool idea because if you're trying to, one of the examples that they give is trying to copy data from a print document into a spreadsheet or something, you'd be able to actually have the list on the screen and be able to navigate for that. So that's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, I couldn't find any pricing information, so I'm not sure how much this is. And I'm also not sure if they've started selling it yet or if they're just introducing it.
Yeah, so it looks like a cool thing. I'm going to guess it's probably not going to be as cheap as, say, your regular 24-inch monitor or something.
I would doubt that.
But it may be cheaper than having two 24-inch monitors trying to do the same type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of cool that you could use something like a magnification software on your computer like ZoomText, and the screen would actually be smart enough to adjust to what you were looking at. So that was kind of cool. More to come on that.
More to come on that. And I'm going to just switch around stories like crazy here and talk about the new NVDA release candidate, which has been released 2011.3. If there are no problems with this release candidate, it will come out as a full 2011.3 version. There have been some minor changes and fixes in this release. There were some problems with some of the language translations that have been fixed. Always the documentation has been improved upon and fixed. There were some problems with losing focus when in certain fields in web browsers and things, and that has been also fixed.
The documentation doesn't reference Quitter, does it?
No.
Okay.
Sometimes when switching between Windows and various applications, it would have problems and start to cough, and I think that has been fixed too.
Don't mention coughing.
No, I mean computer coughing, not people coughing. So those are some of the things. They have a list. NVDA-project.org is, of course, the website for NVDA. You can go and find the versions to download, both the portable and self-installing versions, and all the documentation and changelog and all that kind of other wonderful stuff. The National Federation for the Blind, incidentally, is doing their regular help for Santa again this year. They are going to sponsor letters for Santa. So if you would like to send your child a letter from Santa in Braille, you can work with the NFB to do that between November 15th and December 20th. And incidentally, this is an upcoming Tech Access Daily Tip. We'll provide you more information on letters to Santa.
Hot diggity dog!
The movie theater. There was a lawsuit involving Harkins Theaters in Arizona by various disability groups, both deaf and blind individuals. And we reported a month ago that that was settled, but that they were trying to wait a little bit to figure out further terms of the settlement. Incidentally, what it's going to amount to is Harkins Theaters is going to install captioning equipment, both for vision and hearing. By 2012, I think they said the middle of 2012, all their theaters will be equipped. Incidentally, they're going to be giving away 1,000 free movie passes to visually impaired and hard of hearing people who want to go see movies. I don't know how this is going to work, if they're going to give like a prize drawing, or if they're going to just give them out randomly, or how that is all going to work. Participants in the lawsuit, maybe that's how it's going to work.
Maybe.
People referenced in the lawsuit.
Or maybe they'll get involved with local community organizations to spread the word.
That might happen too.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you who were upset when I posted that article and said this did not reference blind individuals, even though it is in Deaf News Today, it actually does.
Who complained?
Oh, people love to complain.
Ah, yeah.
Anyway,
it didn't mention Quitter in there, did it?
No, okay. No Quitter. Moving right along, the Visual Learning Summit is going to take place tomorrow and Saturday, November 18th and 19th, at the University of California at Davis. They're sponsoring it along with Gallaudet University, which of course is in Washington, D.C., University for the Deaf. And they're coming together to discuss how people who are hard of hearing learn. And this, I don't know how they're bringing in, you know, if they're incorporating deaf-blind individuals into this or not, but discussing the various ways in which people with hearing learn versus the way people without hearing learn. And the assumption is that people without hearing who have vision depend a lot more on vision than their hearing counterparts. And so that's going to be going on for the next couple of days, and they're going to be speakers from both universities there speaking, as well as from other agencies. I'm not sure exactly who's going to be there. I think it's about 350 educators and advocates for the disabled from all over the country. So that is going on as well this weekend.
Aha.
Speaking of universities and California, the University of California at Santa Clara, a Jesuit university, had some kind of dishonesty problems going on. Somebody apparently hacked into the servers and changed up a bunch of grades.
Like, this doesn't happen.
I know.
It used to happen more than it does now.
But
probably.
You know how the university handled it?
How?
They called in the FBI. This is the stupidest thing I have ever heard. they called in instead of doing an internal investigation and doing all, you know, going through all this, you know, like Penn State stuff has been going on. Oh, they did not do it this way. They called in the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Well, you do know that hacking is considered a federal
crime. I understand that. However, they did not do their own internal investigation first, at least that anyone can tell, to find out which students could have done it. So the FBI came around and starts interviewing students who may have done something coincidental, like deleting their Google Voice messages around the time that the servers were hacked. Apparently, one student felt really put on the spot. They just sort of stormed into his dorm room one day and started chatting with him, trying to be friendly, but freaking him out because they had copies of like a whole bunch of his personal, you know, communications and all these things about him, you know, and basically threatened him. Well, I don't know if threat is a right word, but, you know, asked him multiple times if he knew that lying to a federal officer was
they
a crime.
They sort of strongly insisted.
Yes, and he was kind of like, he didn't have to show his computer. You know, they backed off, but no word yet on if they've actually found the culprits or not. And yes, it is a federal felony, but that does not mean they have to get the FBI involved first thing.
Yeah, but, I mean, you can get considered convicted.
Oh, absolutely.
Being a felony just by tampering with something.
Oh, absolutely.
Know, as far as a computer in your workplace. So you kind of have to be careful with that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. And speaking of
lying, possibly.
Doesn't the Department of Justice have anything better to do? They are trying to get regulations put in place based on the, I don't know, some kind of legislation that's already around to state that it is illegal to lie online. Essentially, they want to make it clear there has to be some punishments involved when you violate terms of service on websites, and this would effectively mean that you would not be able to lie and or bend the facts on sites like Match.com, where you're looking for dates. And people always, you know, they can bend the facts. They don't use their real names. That's a big one on sites like that. You may not essentially, you know, especially you're dating on, this is the internet, you may not want people knowing your actual name at first. So you use a pseudonym.
Well, that or you might use a different picture.
You might use a different hometown.
Or different statistics, you know.
Yeah. So they're trying to make this kind of thing illegal. I think the overall sentiment is good. You should abide by terms of service. But there needs to be, it needs to be tailored a little bit to,
yeah,
you know, fit
you might
better.
You might think the person that you're meeting is 5'3" and 100 pounds, but instead she's 5'3" and
250.
Exactly.
So, you know.
Baby got back.
Yeah.
What were you thinking?
Some dude in Florida, I believe this was, mistakenly text messaged a state trooper to buy drugs. I think it was marijuana or some such thing.
So this was a sting operation.
Kind of. It wasn't like, I don't think the trooper put his name out there as, you know, a potential drug dealer. I don't think this was an undercover thing or anything. The way that the article read, this guy accidentally texted him. This person happened to be a state trooper. And it just kind of went from there.
Oh, so he probably put in somebody's phone number,
yeah,
transposed a couple of numbers.
And it and happened then to be the state trooper, and the state trooper just took it undercover himself and, you know, arranged a pickup and an exchange and all that kind of thing, and then, of course, arrested him.
Are you sure this wasn't an episode of CSI Miami?
You know, it sounds awfully a lot like one.
Yeah.
Many of them, actually.
Yeah. Boy, that series got tired after a while.
Which is kind of a pity, because it was really good when it first came out, and then after season like 4 or something.
Yes, and Emily Proctor couldn't save it. The girl from Raleigh, North Carolina, where we are at.
Oh, she's so hot. Well, anyway.
Alrighty!
I've said that before.
Yes. Oh,
anyway.
But not on the podcast.
No, not on the podcast. Anyway, moving right along. Cleaner shrimp. They live, you know, on coral reefs and stuff.
Yeah,
and
clean lives.
Clean up after the fish and get all rid of all the little parasites and crap. They have murderous sex lives.
Murderous?
Yes, murderous sex lives. They are monogamous in the extreme. Well, to start off with, they're also hermaphroditic, which means they have both male and female sex organs, like plants do. They do not mate with themselves, however. Lest any of you be getting really, really creepy thoughts. Well, this still is creepy. They mate with only one partner. And they're so territorial about keeping the same partner that if another shrimp was to sort of amble along and come into their little territory of coral reef, they would start eating bits and pieces of it to kill it. Now, isn't that just gross? They don't just like, you know, strike at it or fight it. They eat it.
Yeah.
That was my thought.
Where do you go with this? I am not sure on this. I have comments, but in a normal
you want to keep
family
this
podcast,
tasteful.
It's kind of hard to go anywhere with this.
Yeah. And on that note, this mess that you've been listening to is Tech Access Weekly episode
117?
I think so.
Yeah.
To find links for the stories we talked about or thought about talking about, you can go to delicious.com/techaccess.
/117, and I will point out that we do have a lot of articles on iTunes Match, because a lot of information has been coming out, so if you want to check on that for those items, that would be good, because it gives you a lot of tips and tricks and what not to do.
At this point, we are not prepared to do tips on iTunes Match, because we're not using iTunes Match.
Yeah, it's a little scary, because you kind of don't want to screw up your music library, especially if you've... done things, and you don't want Frank Sinatra to be Katy Perry.
Or Cake.
Yeah. I can just see somebody going, New York, New York, and then next thing you get some Katy Perry song about California.
I kissed a girl,
yeah,
and
exactly.
I liked it. Mm. Yeah.
Geez, Frank, you changed a little.
Yeah, no kidding.
Sort of get the wrong match there.
No kidding. Wrong match indeed.
And if you want to check out the Melting Pot Show on mushroomfm.com, you can do so on Sundays from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah. And we will just state right now that the state of the podcast for next week has not yet been determined. It will not be recorded on the usual day of Wednesday.
Yeah, and it probably won't
it
be recorded on Thursday.
It may not be recorded at all.
It might be recorded on Tuesday. We're not really sure how focused and quick we're going to be, seeing as how it is a holiday here in the U.S. for Thanksgiving, where all the, what were they, pilgrims and such said, see y'all suckers later in England.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, yo, yo.
And so, since we're going to have visitors and probably be exhausted, it may or may not happen next week, but...
I'm not going to be exhausted because I'm going to be hiding in the closet with my computer.
Well...
I'm just going to sit and watch Netflix all weekend. Maybe I'll pull out the Street Hawk episodes or some Riptide or maybe some Small Wonder from the 80s, you know?
Oof, no Small Wonder, please.
Oof. I think I'd have to be drinking quite a bit. Plus, I'd have to text that drug dealer guy, but I'd have to get the number right first.
Yeah, that might be hard.
I wonder if the number he dialed was 911. That'd be funny.
but
this has been total train wreck of craziness, and I don't know whether it was disjointed speech or what, but we'll get ready to call this an ending.
And we are simply, at this point, going to say...
You can follow me, Rodney Edgar, on Twitter.
And I'm Aaron Edgar. Bye-bye.
Bye.